Hello, this is Matt, WB2SRI, back again with another head-to-head receiver comparison. If you've listened to any of my recordings before, you know that what I prefer to do is compare two receivers under as close conditions as possible. And what that generally means is hooking each of the two receivers up to the same antenna at the same time through an antenna splitter, so that they're receiving exactly the same signal, and then taking the line audio out and sending one over to the left channel and one on the right channel so that you can listen simultaneously and move the headphones from ear to ear back and forth as you see fit to hear how exactly the same signal is being handled by both receivers. So we're going to do that again tonight, although we're going to do it a little bit differently. The two receivers I want to compare are medium wave broadcast band receivers, and they're portable. So they're normally used with internal antennas. So instead of hooking them up to the same antenna, what I've done is gone up to my roof on this not terribly chilly autumn evening with the two radios and my recording gear, tuned some signals, that are as challenging as I can find, and let you hear the output, one on the left channel, one on the right channel, in the same way. And I've taken care to orient the receivers to peak the whatever signal we're listening to. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the bands have in store for us tonight. But the two receivers are one that you may be familiar with, a renowned good performer, the C-Crane Radio 2E. Now, this is a digitally tuned portable, fairly large, with a pretty large ferrite bar in it. It's got a reputation for being a particularly sensitive radio, and it's pretty easy to tune. The other radio is one you may not be as familiar with, and that is actually not intended as a radio, but rather as a test instrument. It's the Potomac Instruments FIM-41. Now, this tunes the medium wave broadcast band all the way up actually to 5 megahertz, and its intended use is as a test instrument to measure the field strength, the field intensity of broadcast band transmitters. And really, the only people who bought these were either broadcast stations or broadcast engineers who need to comply with FCC rules, or the FCC, which wanted to see if the licensees were complying. I actually bought mine at a government auction, and it started its life at the New Orleans FCC office. These were crazily expensive. They cost something like $1,300 or $1,400 new, and they look just gorgeous. All sorts of dials. If you look at the photograph, you'll see it really feels like a radio when you're using it, although they're a bit of work to tune to the correct frequency. It's got a demodulator, one bandwidth filter, no synchronous detection or any fancy bells and whistles like that. In fact, demodulation is almost an afterthought. It's just there to make sure you're tuned to the right station. But it's actually the most sensitive receiver I've ever encountered on that band, and it's a real benchmark to compare anything else with. So, without further ado, I'm up on my roof, and the first challenge is to find a marginal enough signal that it will highlight the differences between these various radios. Now, that's not as easy as it sounds in the United States, particularly in the Northeast or the Mid-Atlantic, where I'm located, because pretty much every channel slot is occupied. So it's hard to find one with a single weak signal on it. But I've got a few tricks up my sleeve. The first is in the expanded part of the broadcast band above 1600. There are a few stations that are essentially low-power clear channels for within a region. And one of my favorite frequencies there for finding a weak marginal signal to measure band conditions and receiver performance is 1630 KCJJ in Iowa City. It's a 1 kilowatt transmitter, and it mostly has the frequency all to itself. Now, I don't know what we're about to find there. I've tuned both receivers to 1630, but I haven't actually listened to their audio. We'll see what it has in store for us. But let's start by seeing what the FIM receiver on our left channel is getting there. All right, well, there's a little bit of a signal there. It's very weak, but we can pull something out of it. We can tell there's music. Let's see on the right channel what the Sea Crane radio is doing. Same thing, there's a fast fade in there, but who knows what's going on. It sounds like the band conditions are rapidly changing. So I'm going to let you listen to both radios, and I'll get out of the picture here. And on our right channel is the Sea Crane Radio 2E, and on the left channel, Potomac Instruments FIM 41. All right, well, I think we've managed to see a pretty clear difference between these two radios. Again, on the left channel, we had the FIM meter. On the right channel, the Sea Crane Radio 2E. And I think we had a usable signal on the FIM receiver, for pretty much the whole time, and it was hit or miss on the Sea Crane. So I think that shows a pretty clear edge for the FIM meter. Now, in both cases, I peaked the signals. They have slightly different antennas, so the radios are perpendicular to each other. The Sea Crane uses a ferrite bar, and the so the peak signal is through the long axis of the radio. So behind the radio or in front of the radio is where the peak signal would be. Whereas the FIM uses a loop, and so its peak is off to the side either way of the radio. And you can kind of see how that antenna looks if you look at the photograph. By the way, the FIM receiver has no automatic gain control. You have to tune the gain to one of six different settings manually, otherwise you get overload. And we're down at the maximum gain setting. And in fact, we could see that there was only a signal of about 400 microvolts per meter, which for a medium wave broadcaster is an awfully weak signal. All right, so let's find some other stuff. I want to go down to the other end of the band. Let me tune these, turn these radios down. I want to go down to the other end of the band. And so I'm going to start down at one of the most interesting frequencies that I know of, which is 650 AM. Now, you may recall that 650 AM on the East Coast is almost always WSM in Nashville, a famous station for originating its own programming, and a kind of a legend for the Grand Ole Opry, which it sponsors, and country music. But there are other stations on that channel. So we're going to use this to see if how well we can null out a relatively strong signal, which I'm fully expecting WSM at this hour will provide us with here in the Washington, D.C. area. And we'll listen to that for a little while, and then we'll try to null it out and see what else is there. So I'm going to start out with the FIM meter, and I'll peak that for maximum signal. I'm doing this even without looking. I'm so confident that we're going to find a signal there. On our left channel, here's the FIM meter tuned to 650 AM. All right. So we're, by the way, getting about just about 1.5 millivolts per meter of signal there. Let's see what the All right, and on the right channel, we've got our Sea Crane. None of that is terribly surprising. Country music from WSM Nashville coming in pretty loud and clear, as it does pretty much every night of the year. But that's not the interesting part. What I want to do now is rotate the FIM meter. I'll start with that and see if we can null out WSM and see what's there. All right, you might notice that there is some commentary in Spanish going on, and that's actually Radio Rebelde in Cuba, which shares the same frequency. So if we're really careful, we can sometimes null out the dominant signal and find something else. So I'm going to try to do the same thing on the right channel.
Underway 2 more hours, leading right up until midnight. A lot of rain in the forecast. CBS News has an update and 2 more hours of some of the finest country music around 9:58 now in America's Music City at WSN, Nashville, Tennessee.
Wherever you are in the world, there we are.
Radio, WBAM, WFMI.com, television, smartphone, streaming platforms, you name it, we're there. Purple television, coffee, morning, country,
state. All right, I'm going to let you listen to both of them. I've nulled out and tried to maximize the weaker signal, and I'll let you listen to those for about a minute or so.
Highlight performance from Lauren Elena from this past weekend. Debuting new music from Lewis Price, whose brother Lee has produced this song. And Pink writer Victoria Shaw, long time friend. She, Aaron Kinsey, and Joe Lennon, both Pink. This is a part of the opposite of Pink. Let's hear back for us and see them. Not so much more.
All right, well, we could not completely get rid of WSM on either, but I think I was a little more successful with the FIM meter on the left channel than with the C-crane on the right. And that's probably about to be expected. A loop of this size is generally going to have a deeper null than the ferrite bar of the same size here. So that gave a little bit of an advantage for nulling, and we already saw that the FIM 41 receiver itself can pull in weaker signals a little more successfully. So for nulling performance, we got a little bit of an edge there from the FIM, but neither was perfectly able to get rid of WSM. Now, we might have been able to play some games with tilting the radios a little bit, because these signals don't always come in completely horizontally. But I want to get just a simple comparison. We're not actually trying to maximize the null here. We're trying to just compare what these two receivers do under strictly level horizontal conditions. All right, I'm going to tune up a little more up the band and try another frequency that can often be an provide some interesting challenges. And that's 870 with WWL in New Orleans, which often comes in anywhere from very strong to barely readable. And it shares this frequency with Radio Reloja, the news station in Cuba. That's one of its frequencies as well. So I'm going to tune up to 870 here and just see what the FM will do for us. And then I'll do the same thing on our Sea Crane Radio 2E. Again, the FM is on the left channel and the Sea Crane is on the right.
Figure out the source.
They're working with law enforcement.
For a brief period, the Trump campaign website carried logos mimicking the FBI and Justice Department seals. The text that included several spelling and grammar mistakes.
All right. So this is the FIM receiver tuned to WWL New Orleans with a news report. And I've tuned, I've maximized that. You'll notice we're getting some adjacent channel, probably from 880 New York. But this only has one bandwidth filter, so that's what we're going to see. Now let me also bring up the Sea Crane on the right. I'll let you listen to them both for a little bit.
You can listen to CBS News Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on radio.com or the radio.com app. Download it today.
President Trump is back, and Newsmax TV is fully covering his rallies live and without interruption. Newsmax TV is rising fast. Watch great shows with Greg Kelly and Sean Spicer. Plus on weekends, Mike Huckabee, Michelle Malkin, and Diamond Itself. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Check your guide. Get Newsmax free on Roku, Zumo, YouTube, Pluto, Apple TV, Chromecast, Amazon Fire, and Samsung and LG. Just download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone and start watching now.
There's lots to be wary of. Hackers, predators.
Thanks for your banking information, Mary. Thank you for all your passwords. What happens? I can't see anything. They must be using ID
Bank. ID utilizes military-grade encryption and works worldwide using over 1,500 servers and 70.
Okay, so that's WWL New Orleans, but that's not what I want to do. We could hear some other speech in there, also Spanish. I'm almost certain that was Radio Reloja. I'm going to use the FIM and see how well I can null out WWL and maximize our Cuban friends. All right, so that's Radio Reloja in Cuba on 870, same frequency, 870. Now let's see if we can maximize that by nulling out WWL on the Sea Crane.
Says if there's any bright side to Zeta, it's that it will come and go relatively quickly.
When it makes landfall, it should be in the
20s. All right, I'm going to let you listen to them both. I think I've maximized the null in both of the receivers.
The state has been on the Leadville bridge that leads to the Red Island Port Cushion on the
Director of Emergency Management at the Garrettsville Valley Institute says they are prepared for the explosion of Grand Isle. Valley Institute says the island like the rest of the lower parish could be in control of the storm.
All right. So I think we were more successful at nulling it best with the FIM receiver again. Radio Realoha is an interesting station because it's a 24-hour news format that also doubles as a time signal. And you'll notice there are these frequent ticks that the announcers, it generally has both a male and a female newsreader at any given segment. There's a time signal at 0 seconds of each minute, followed by a Morse code RR, which you might have heard in there. Didadit, didadit. It's a signature signal every minute. So it's a very rhythmic, fast-paced news format. Most stories are told within exactly 1 minute in Spanish. All right, so I'm going to just tune to a couple of other frequencies, a couple of other clear channels. Let's see what WHO Des Moines on 1040 can do. I'm going to tune up the FIM meter here first.
First notice Juttner's activity when a phony $1 silver certificate turned up at a cigar store on Broadway near 102nd Street. Even as the agency opened a new case file numbered 880, agents felt everything about the bill was unusual. No one in recent times had considered singles worth the trouble to counterfeit.
All right, so that's...
More importantly, the bill was obviously laughably bad. While U.S. currency was printed
on the left channel, there's our FIM meter.
And 25% linen stock with red and blue fibers of various lengths embedded in the paper, Juttner had used cheap farm paper from some corner store.
Hold on. I may have mistuned that. Hold on. All right, so we're listening to them both, and it's a fairly marginal signal tonight. This is WHO Des Moines. All right, and just to continue tuning around the band, I'm going to go up to 1120 KMOX in St. Louis, another reliable station here.
He wasn't just primarily known as someone that worked with George H.W. Bush even before he became vice president. And, you know, George H.W. Bush, of course, had other roles in government at that time, but there's other administrations he served under.
That's correct. In fact, Tom Corbett, Republican statement, was a young sister who arrived in Washington in 1975, and D.C. was never the same again.
He's really one of the most consequential and most important figures of the last half century in American politics and on the world scene. He was the delegate hunter for President Ford. He then ran the campaign for President Ford's failed re-election bid, though, but they did a heck of a job. He then transitioned to chief of staff for President Reagan, then became Treasury Secretary for President Reagan. And then by the time he's running George Bush's campaign from 1988 against Dukakis, he is in handpicked by Bush to be a Secretary of State.
Yeah. So his time in politics, James Baker, pretty much ended the same time as the George H.W. Bush presidencies. After that, he didn't really stay in politics.
I think it ended on paper, meaning that they were both out of power on January 20th, 1993.
Okay, so we're getting a little bit of a fight there. I believe the other station with the country music in the background was a station in upstate New York, according to my notes, which I sometimes will hear on KMOX's frequency when conditions are just right. All right, I think we've done as much as we're going to do. I think this showed that both receivers actually performed pretty admirably, although the edge for both sensitivity and ability to do a null definitely lies with the FIM meter. The FIM meter is not for everyone. They're still expensive. They tend to go for a little north of $1,000 in used condition. If you can find one at a bargain price, you want to grab it if it works. It's a really beautiful receiver if you're lucky enough to find one at a good price. But if you're not, you know, you'll still do pretty well with one of the better AM portables, like the Sea Crane Radio 2 that we had here, or the Panasonic RF2200, or an old GE Super Radio 1 or 2. All of those will do really, really well. And, you know, as we can see, start to approach the performance of a over $10,000 test instrument. So that's all I've got. It's starting to get cold up here. So I will sign off for now. Again, this was Matt, WB2SRI, and thanks again for listening.